That's why we're just going to have a more of a personal show. No news. No news.
I have an idea. Let's do this.
What's the idea?
I have an idea. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You guys just go with it.
Just fucking go with it.
Because Evan, the king of improv, has got Evan. The idea.
Yes, Evan. Your improv skills. Impeccable.
Hello, and welcome to Indestructible Art, the world's greatest podcast. This is episode 240, and with me today, I've got one Ryan Adams. How's it going, Ryan?
Doing great, Evan. Thanks for asking. The premier podcast for all things comic books and video games.
Also joining us on the show today, we've got Omar DeArmas.
Hello! How's it going?
Omar, you're quite excited today. What are you here on the show to talk about?
September baseball.
Yes, America's pastime, I believe.
The great American pastime that is baseball, the MLB, in September, playoffs right around the corner.
I guess that would make sense for this week's show, as we don't have much to talk about, so we assumed if we did a slower style, we'd be able to fill up the full hour.
You know what I find interesting about baseball, especially in the month of September, is when it's the time for teams to really come together and try to make that final push for the playoffs. One of the things I like to watch is watching the New York Mets kind of stinking up the joint. You know what I'm saying? Fortunately for the New York Mets, they had a decent postseason last year, but this year I don't anticipate them even making the wild card.
Those are bold words, sir.
In other words, I like to say, go fuck yourself, Omar. Long live Dodger baseball. Long live Dodger baseball. I can't do the podcast like this. I can't do it either. Omar even tried. He was like, fuck this. I'm going to be loud.
Yeah, we weren't meant for this intellectual business.
This is no fucking NPR.
The year was 2016, and an empty baseball field warms up under the California sun.
National Public Radio. Hey, real quickly. How often do you guys listen to NPR?
Never anymore. I used to listen to it all the time. Like before, I don't want to say before like iPods and stuff, because it was definitely not before that. Mm-hmm. But like before it was like readily available, like listen to your phone or whatever in the car. Like NPR was on all the time.
Do you find NPR's
KCRW. Liberal?
You find that their liberal agenda.
It lines up with what I want to hear about. You listen to a little bit of NPR, then you turn on 640, and you get yelled at a couple times, and then you go back to NPR and be like, yes, I picked
that's
the right side.
Weird for you guys to say that, because I thought you guys were big VR supporters, and all that stuff with Lucky just blew up this week. Trump supporting, yeah? So what's going on, you guys? Like, what's up with your VR... Your VR stance now.
Well, first off.
Sense. I'm sorry.
Listen, Evan. This guy, Palmer Lucky. Have you ever seen like a picture of this guy?
Yeah, the one with that where he's floating and he doesn't have shoes on.
Yes.
That was on the cover of Time or whatever.
I am not going to sit here and make fun of the guy for the way he looks, okay? I'm just bringing up that, have you seen pictures of him?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you know what? I think the Oculus is a pretty cool idea. And yes. I value what Mr. I think we've been pronouncing his last name wrong, by the way. I don't think it's Lucky. I think it's Lucky.
Yeah.
Palmer Lucky.
He actually told people to say Lucky because he wanted to be more of the people.
Uh-huh.
He thought that Lucky was too yuppie and pointed too much to his like rich childhood. So he became
not lucky?
Palmer Lucky.
To be honest, I'm kind of confused by all of the stuff that went down. Essentially, he was found to be supporting like
not just that. Like somebody uncovered his Reddit account that he had been using anonymously, and it was some like real dirtbag fucking name, like Billionaire Pride, some real fucking shitty thing. And somebody found out that that was him and then tied that back to a company that he's been funding that is just running a smear campaign on Hillary Clinton.
Now, listen. The fact that he's running a smear campaign against Hillary Clinton, I can't really fault the guy for that, though, right? I mean,
is this where Ryan pretends to be super conservative, and then we're just like, oh, Ryan, you're the worst?
No.
Yeah, is that what we're doing right now?
No, it's not. It's not. I'm not a Hillary fan whatsoever, Evan.
The name of the handle he was using is Nimble Rich Man.
Yeah, some real douchebag bullshit.
Yeah, because douchey Rich Man was already taken.
Scrooge Mick Douche Ducks Money Bags something.
I think this is a black eye for the Oculus Rift.
It is. It's a terrible, like, it is a terrible thing when you find out, like, that a company's spokesperson and basically, like, the face has been doing something shady like that. But it's also, like, the gradient is weird, too, because, like, there's people who talk shit about Trump or something just as much, and no one gives a shit about them.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is, like, a little unfair, but at the same time, he was doing, like, kind of a terrible thing with the way that he was, like, smear campaigning. It's not like honorable politics or anything, you know, so maybe that's why it's okay to hate him about it.
Yeah, I don't know. And also, to make things worse, the Palmer, from our perspective as just like consumers or whatever, he the whole time, like when people ask him about other VR companies, he's like, this is great. I just hope they don't fuck it up. Don't fuck it up. And now he's totally like the guy who's kind of messed this up. Yeah.
He totally ruined his company. Yeah. I feel bad for Carmack, man. John Carmack.
Mm-hmm. Hitched to that boat. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Genius. John Carmack hitched to the wrong wagon to the wrong Cadillac.
There was some other story about a senior VR guy leaving Oculus to go to Microsoft as well.
I don't know if it's in resolve
of that, but yeah, there was like some guy who purportedly was like one of Palmer Luckey's influencers or something. And that guy's now working at Microsoft. Probably on the HoloLens.
Yeah, but that couldn't have been because of this. That's probably
something
that's been happening for a little while. No, you don't just like all of a sudden get a job somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be hard to do.
Yeah, it sucks. VR, man. Like, it sucks that happens. I wasn't rushing to buy a Oculus anyway, but now I'm less likely to because that dude is a kind of a douche. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because he was like the, you know, the silly, happy, grinning fool that was leading the charge of the future of video games.
But at the same time, listen, guys, he put a lot of effort into this. Just because he's, you know, stupid outside the industry, does that really mean that you're not going to support this company that's made up of other, you know, folks who don't share his same beliefs? I mean, there's a lot of people that work for Oculus, right? It's not just this guy.
It's not. But, I mean, he will get the lion's share of the profits.
Even though you don't, you know, line up with him with how he feels about politics, does that mean that you have to, like, throw this guy out? Like, he's a leper? You just cast him out?
I mean,
last time I checked, podcast hosts. It's America. We can have differences of opinion.
Oh, totally. But as a consumer, I think Omar's being really, really honest. And, you know, he's not pretending like that stuff doesn't affect him, right? Like, that stuff happens all the time in terms of
how does it affect you, Omar? How does it make you feel?
Well, I mean, like, there's other things that I don't do because I don't believe in, like, either the politics or the economics of it, you know? Like,
do you need a safe place?
Like, I don't eat beef because I don't believe in, like, the economics of like, the beef industry. Like, there are things that I do because I don't believe in what it stands for. And this is not any different. Just because it's, like, centered around a dude and not, like, an entire industry practice or something doesn't mean it changes my mind. Like, this is another stupid – it's stupid, but it's another example of – when Dropbox is a service that I used to use very, very heavily, right? You guys know what Dropbox is.
We love the Dropbox.
Yeah, I'm assuming everybody understands what it is. It's a file. It's like a online cloud storage / file server. It's file sharing service. But
we basically used to run the entire show out of Dropbox.
Yeah,
for the most
but
part.
When they hired Condoleezza Rice as their like head board person or something, I stopped using that service. Like, it's stupid, and it's because one person is souring an entire like product or company for me, but it, you know, it is what it is. I don't know. Like, I still want the Oculus to be good because it's good to have competition, and I don't want the Vive to be the only thing that people use for VR on the PC, there's Open VR and the Starbreeze thing, and there's other versions, but none of them are going to have the traction that either Oculus or Vive have.
Is the Gear VR enough of a departure that you wouldn't mind paying for one of those? Or is it because it's owned by Oculus, it's still, like, tainted?
I mean, the Gear VR is whatever. It, like, being owned by Oculus is definitely a thing, but also, like, that's an Android-only product. That's a Samsung Android-only product, you know?
Sure.
Like, there was no way that I was ever going to have one of those or use one of them for anything.
Okay, so, in a discussion there.
Yeah.
I'm curious if... I mean, I know that stuff, like, affects us in a weird way, and you always want to feel like your cold, hard American cash is going to, like, somebody that you can support. The other hard part about it is, like, name one person from the Vive team. Like, just one face that represents the Vive in that company and is, like, out there talking about VR. Like, I don't know who that person would be. Even PlayStation VR, there's, you know, vice presidents of Sony or whatever who will get up and talk about it, but there isn't, like, oh, that's the guy that makes PlayStation VR, right? And I think... that's dangerous because you can run into situations where you have this person being outed at, like, for their political beliefs or whatever things that they've done. But at the same time, it really does help sell a product too, right? So do you think we'll see any, like, faces emerge to represent these other two VR platforms?
No, I think it was...
No, they're all probably, giant corporations.
It was a conscious decision not to have that before.
Right.
Oculus was in a weird, unique spot where it was... one dude and it was like a couple people bringing that up from the floor and then saying like, yeah, we'll be independent forever. And then Facebook
getting
shows
bought
up
by Facebook.
Facebook shows up with a couple $1 billion and they're like, okay. You know, like, whatever. That's what happens when you come from a Kickstarter, you know, 7 years ago or whatever.
So we've been through the launch of Oculus. We've been through the launch of the Vive. How are you guys feeling about VR in its current state? Like, do you still feel like this is absolutely the future? Do you think, like, the original concept of how we're going to play VR games is still the same? Or do you think it's changing dramatically as these things have kind of hit the home?
Well, I think we're still waiting for that killer app, right?
Yeah,
like
we're still waiting. That's... the problem with VR right now is not that the concepts are bad, is that no one has been able to put something out that's been like, this is the thing you need to do on Oculus Rift or Sony or, you know, HTC Vive. Mm-hmm. Like, there hasn't been that game that you can point to and be like, this is a fucking video game and it's in VR. The only way you can do it is in VR.
I guess my question is, there's these smaller experiences that are fun, but do you think that's just like the way that VR is going to be going forward? Like,
I hope not, man. I hope
yeah,
not.
Is
like,
there
I
a
really
place?
Want it to be a thing. Mm-hmm. It's just not. I don't know why. I don't know why people haven't been able to make that thing.
Yeah, no, it's happening, guys. Don't worry. 6 months from now, when we're playing Resident Evil 7 in our full VR modes on our PlayStation 4s and our PlayStation 4 Pros, yeah, it's just like, remember when Mario 64 came out? Yeah, 3D games existed, but it really took Mario 64 coming out to really change the game.
Do you think that they will solve some problems, or do you think they're just going to, like, Band-Aid solution that stuff for Resident Evil 7? You know, Omar, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're definitely more into the VR space than I am, but there still isn't really a game where you actually kind of walk around, right? Like, there's
like walk around physically?
Not physically, but like even in game kind of walk around. Because usually they use like the teleport mechanic to keep people
from getting sick. But that's not true. There are lots of games that just like sitting VR games where you use a control pad and you move around. But like those are not what people want. They want standing experience. And you can't have standing experience or room scale stuff and walk around at the same time because it's literally impossible.
Right.
A lot of that teleporting around stuff. Like, I think that once the Sony's VR, like once PlayStation VR comes out, it is definitely going to be a game changer because there are actual fucking video games announced for that thing that are going to be coming out alongside with the release of the hardware. Like, actual video games, not just tech demos that last 5 minutes, you know?
I don't know, man. I feel like we've seen a few hardware launches before, and those look very, very like first day launch worthy. That Batman game seemed like a tech demo.
There are the tech demos as well, but there's plenty of other things that are actual video games.
Do you know if they're coming out day and date?
They plan. I don't know about how many of them are day and date, but there was that one. It was, you know, I forget when it happened, but there was that one list of games that Sony put out, like, these are our VR titles that we're working on. And there was, like, a shitload of them. There were so many names on that list.
When I saw the list, I was, like, I kind of went through it with my eyes and was just like, okay, well, we saw parts of this, and this is, like, tech demo-y. The thing that's interesting about the list is there's kind of big names attached to those games, right? They seem more licensed. For example, I just think of Batman because that's the biggest brand name that I remember kind of being attached to one of those. I think there's a Star Wars one, but I don't think that those are necessarily full-fledged games. But if that's kind of, I mean, even when we had the new release of these consoles now, the PS4 and the Xbox One, you know, you still had launch titles and some are okay and some are very not okay. And I think that probably will still happen with PlayStation VR. I'm just wondering, I think the time it takes to get from those initial releases to an actual game where people feel good about it is make or break, right? Like, if they don't do it fast enough, it's kind of done, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That thing is going to come out with enough fanfare, I think, and with enough, like, it's, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's going to have enough behind it that people are going to be excited about it, because it is Sony and it is PlayStation.
That's the thing is, guys, sure. Think about this. Sony's got the money behind it. It's got the name, like, value. People know Sony, right? Oculus, who knows that besides, us in our industry and a couple people that have been paying attention, right?
No, lots of people know what the Oculus is. Like, the Oculus and the Vive are definitely mainstream. They are mainstream. They're just not, they're not just like the adoption rate is not as high, because it is such a weird fucking thing that you have to experience to understand. But people know what they are.
Yeah, I see what you guys are saying. Like, who's going to play? I forget what that demo is called, but who wants to play Oculus Playroom versus Resident Evil or, you know, Call of Duty or whatever big brand name you can kind of attach to a game that's already established and people kind of know what to expect? And then you're with PlayStation VR, you're kind of saying, well, we have this crazy new experience that you can have with these games, the same old games that you love with now a new twist, you know? So yeah, that all of that makes sense. I hope that it's successful. I think VR is a very, very cool thing. It's going to be interesting and fun kind of to see what it takes to kind of get it where it needs to be. And I don't know. How long do you guys think that takes? You think, like, VR is widely acceptable in the home in, like, 5 years? You think it's mainstream in 3 years?
My house, 6 months.
I mean, when does that thing come out? It comes out next month, in October or November?
I don't know.
I think it's late October, right?
October
baseball.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure October baseball.
I'm pretty sure that it was, like, slated for, like, October 20-something, right? I think then Sony's going to put a lot of fucking marketing push behind that thing, obviously. There's going to be commercials everywhere. You see that stupid PlayStation logo in between all kinds of stuff on commercials. Like, you're going to get VR, more and more VR stuff. They've already been doing it, obviously, but they're going to get more and more. And that thing
all the Taco Bell commercials right now.
Yeah, and, like, it's going to be the right price, I think, for people to
get their feet wet.
Yeah, well, maybe take a risk, you know? Like, the Vive is $800. You're not just on a whim being like, you know what, I think I'm going to like VR. I'm going to pay $800 for this thing. No, you have to be way more sure of yourself if you're going to spend $800 on a Vive or $600-something on an Oculus. You know, the PlayStation VR is going to be expensive, obviously. Like, no, like, I'm not, like, underselling how much it's going to cost, but it's going to be enough, or it's going to be low enough that people are going to look at it and be like, you know what? I could risk that on this thing that I already have. I know the platform and I understand that I like this thing, you know?
It seems like it's one step closer. Like, $400 is, oh, I saw that thing in my friend's house and it was really cool. This is kind of worth it. Where it's like, I saw that thing in my friend's house, but he's crazy and he spent almost $1,000 on it. I'll never do that. I'll just go to his house and check it out.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So October 13th is the day that PlayStation VR is going to hit shelves. And I have this funny thought the other day. I think about this sometimes. You know how we sometimes identify eras, like, this is the 80s, this is the 90s, this is the thing. And I think when we're living in, you know, time or whatever, it's hard to kind of determine, like, what those things are going to be standout. But after seeing all these kind of promotional ads with people wearing Gear VR and stuff, like, is this our claim to fame? Is this, well, the way you think of a typewriter, are we going to think about VR in, like, 20 years or something? Where it's just like, look at these huge things people used to strap to their face. This is so early 2000s or whatever.
Yeah, this is before we got... What, neural jacks, where we can just plug directly into the back of our,
Johnny
necks.
Mnemonic.
Or, yeah, even the dream scenario where people are talking about making VR the size of sunglasses or something, right?
No, I think the head thing will be gone in 10 years and we'll be plugging in directly into our machines.
You just...
They'll know, because we'll have wireless access points attached to our eyeballs.
It's a quarter-inch jack that goes right into your eye. Just
no, it's right wireless, brah. It's the fucking future. This isn't like wireless. 80s sci-fi. You don't have to wire the wire connection to your brain.
I want the wired connection to my brain, though, Omar. I really
do. You want to be stabbing yourself in the back of the neck with a fucking spike?
It's science.
No, dude. Wireless.
Science.
You're just going to be walking. Man. You're just going to be walking down the street, and it's going to be fucking Minority Report. Things showing up on your eyeballs all over the place.
Man, just, everybody steals from Minority Report, by the way.
That game, yeah. that movie Marvel. Was way better than we gave it credit for at the time.
I think there needs to be a better version of it, though. Or not better version of the same. Of
Minority Report.
We haven't had a Minority Report in a while, is what I'm saying. Like a benchmark science fiction film where it's like, oh, this is how the future should be. This is how cool. Like, I feel like everybody's just kind
Looper,
of making
dude.
Those...
Looper.
Looper.
Fuck Looper. Get out of here.
What? Are you serious, Evan?
What? Tell me one futuristic thing about Looper that's cool that you want.
Time travel, brah.
Time travel.
Okay, aside from time travel. Would you
circular
want this?
Time travel theory. Or, yeah, circular? Or you, not branching yeah. path time travel. Yes. I don't know what to call it. It's fucking time travel.
So you want to
travel
Willis around
time. Bruce Willis as a child.
Goof around,
Bruce
do some
Willis.
Funny stuff, and then find out you're your own grandpa. Got it.
No, fantastic. It's not about, no.
That's
no.
Futurama.
Him. Get out of here, Evan.
That actually comes from like a more famous.
It comes from Futurama.
Science fiction literature thing that probably Futurama was emulating. But yeah, that. Like, even Futurama has flying cars and stuff, right? What I'm talking about is a movie that kind of visualizes the future in a way that seems approachable, but also, like, completely unapproachable, right? Like, yeah, this is probably how we'll have screens that just, like, float in the air, and that seems impossible. But now, as we get closer to stuff like that, it seems more likely. I guess there just hasn't been a science fiction film that's, like, really made me psyched for the future.
You know what I
in
saw?
In a way that... Even
Total
Back
Recall.
To the Future does with
Total Recall. Total Recall. Total
Recall. Which one?
What is cool about Total Recall, except for getting the thing jacked in the back of your head, and then all your memories get erased, and then welcome to the party, Richter, whatever he says.
Bro, fucking get your ass to Mars.
Get your ass. Johnny Cab, I guess that's okay. Okay, that's probably the best thing, if we can get real Johnny Cabs.
A couple weeks ago, where was I? I think it was at PAX. I saw for the first time in real life. Clear LCDs.
Oh,
that's the fucking future, dude. Is crazy. Is TVs with pictures on them moving, being a fucking television that when they turn off, you can see through them.
You would say holographic, even, Omar.
I mean, no, because it's a flat image on a screen. But
what do you think a hologram is?
What do you mean? What do you think a hologram is?
Well, currently holograms can't be projected without some type of glass reflected off of.
Have you seen fucking Tupac on stage?
that's they're doing that. They're reflecting his image off of like a huge sheet of glass or something.
The future.
Yeah.
Hatsune Miku.
Yeah, that's the same deal. Same technology. Like they haven't quite. Figured it out.
I thought they were doing it on like smoke or something.
That might be it too. Like they have to reflect the image off of something. There's a big screen like underneath the stage or above the stage or something that's projecting that image. I feel like probably Disneyland is the same way. The crazy thing is that Disneyland ghost ride is so old, and I wish
the
somebody
Disneyland
would just make,
like, ghost ride
haunted house haunted mansion.
Oh god, Evan.
Evan Campbell, too cool to know what the fucking ride is called at Disneyland.
Sorry, I was in the moment. My memory doesn't work so good.
You know, the one that's the spooky castle? Fucking Evan. All right, so I think our listeners could probably figure out by now, this isn't a normal Indestructible Art episode, right? We're not like going back and forth with different news items.
Uh-huh.
It's because we want to try something different, right, Evan?
I don't know where you're going with this. Let's try something different, though.
So,
Evan Campbell, master of improv.
Yeah, I actually did something pretty cool the other night, guys, that I want to talk about in the show. Pretty cool. Do you remember there was a company called Game Trailers?
Okay.
Do you remember Game Trailers?
No.
Yeah, I believe I worked there before. Omar worked there before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, go you guys on. Used to work there. Yeah, it's gone, right? It's dead.
No, not exactly.
Is it still relevant?
I guess, in some ways.
It's weird. I don't know. IGN picked up all that stuff, and they've been posting all the videos on YouTube and stuff, like giving it a resurgence of relevancy.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, to get myself pumped on the upcoming Resident Evil 7... I watched the game trailer Resident Evil Retrospect. That's like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, good stuff.
Pretty good.
Really good.
Really good. I like their retrospects. In fact, I'm going to watch the Castlevania one later today.
Also very good.
Was that a Damiani joint or a Huber joint?
Brandon Jones for the most part. But yeah, like he used to work on those. They're a little bit different than... the ones that Damiani did, but I think he would just work with different editorial, like Patrick or Damiani or whoever like knew the most about a
first,
game.
They use
a collective contact to kind of put that stuff together.
Hey, I'm not talking about this so you can start name dropping. God, guys. Oh, I know this guy. I'm just saying is watching these retrospectives it's so awesome to see where the video game industry has come, man. The crazy thing about this, listen to this, guys. Think about that first Resident Evil game, right? You almost turned into a Jill sandwich. What is this? It's
sure.
blood. And the really blocky animations?
Yeah.
From that game to the GameCube remake, it's only like 6 years. That fucking jump is insane.
Yeah.
Well, dude,
it is absolutely insane.
Technology and video games in general, shifting from GameCube SD to whatever HD, insane. That was only a couple years too.
I feel like SD to HD is, when you think about it in the context of history, doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But then when you put it side by side, you're just like, oh, holy crap, this is pretty insane. Yeah.
Man, video games have really come a long way, guys. I just wanted to bring it up because I love Resident Evil, and I know game trailers is something near and dear to your guys' hearts.
Are you still not playing that demo because you're an idiot?
I don't want to play the demo.
It's going to be a completely different game.
It doesn't matter.
Did you play PT?
Yeah.
Why not play this? What would be the difference?
Omar, first off, I'm not as vested in Silent Hill as I am Resident Evil.
True.
So that would be less reason, not more reason.
No. So if you didn't know this about Ryan, anyone who's listening, basically he loves spoilers. He reads every single spoiler. He tries to read scripts of things before they are even released so that he knows what's happening. But I think when it comes to things like Resident Evil, you pretty much go the blackout route, right?
Yep, I go full blackout. I don't like being surprised, right? I'm the guy who will find like the soundtrack for a movie before it's released and look at the song titles of it and listen to the mood of the music to figure out what scenes are happening, and then I can have a mental picture of the film before I go see it. I don't like being surprised.
What's wrong with you? What happened to you as a child?
Thing is I'm a smart guy. I like to figure things out, but when it comes to things that I absolutely love, I go full blackout. Don't want to see it until it's in my hands. I won't rent. I won't read a review. And sometimes it backfires in my face. I'll get something that I was really looking forward to, and it just shat all over my hands.
Speaking of things you like, Ryan, BioShock Collection came out. Are you playing that?
I guess.
No need.
I picked that up. It's real good.
Yeah, but the thing
is... Is it on console?
Yeah, I think so.
So when you buy it on console, do you get like one, then one remastered, two, and two remastered, and then three?
That would probably make sense. I have no idea. That's why I asked you guys, because you're BioShock fans.
The first one's remastered.
But one and two are definitely remastered on the PC, and three is just three. But when I bought it's a $60 product, right, the collection. I got one remastered, two remastered, three, plus all DLC associated with any three of the games.
Did they change
Minerva's
anything?
Minerva's dead. So good. Sorry.
Did they change anything in three at all for the remaster, or is it literally just a port of the game?
I think it's just the game. Like, well, it was not even a port, right? Like, it's just the game. For a console, it would have to be. Hmm. But on PC, I'm sure it's just the whatever came out when it came out, right?
Yeah.
That game is pretty perfect, by the way. You don't really have to do much to it.
Three?
Infinite?
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
That ending is so good.
Pretty good.
No, what's awesome is, so I started playing it last week, right? I'm slowly going through one remastered right now. And it looks incredible. Like, it shows age, but like, you know, having up-res textures and all that stuff, and then like the little museum that you can go through and you can see all their like inspirations and different iterations of characters and stuff. All awesome. But when you start that game, you literally start it, you know, you fall into the ocean, planes on fire.
Swim
to the lighthouse. The lighthouse is right in front of you. You climb the stairs and you go down into the thing. Like, oh man, they fucking went full circle with that thing in a way that has not happened in video games very often. You know,
there's always a man. There's always a lighthouse. Oh my god.
Some Castlevanias don't even come close, but they always like bring stuff back. Like,
it's not about even bringing stuff back. It's like there was a path, there was a script or whatever that he knew from the get-go. And it's awesome to see stuff, you know, executed in that way. Because, like, you look at television, right? Television is, especially in the U.S., is so fucking terrible. You have a cool premise, and then you just make it last as long as it can until it ends without fucking ending.
Because and they just switch writers like every episode, and they're just making it up as they go.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, yes, make it last three seasons or whatever, but fucking when it's gonna end, end it, you know, like end the storyline. But no, what ends up happening is they push it, then they get canceled, and they don't get a chance to end the thing. Like, it's super awesome to have some kind of you know, to have entertainment where you knew that this was going to be these story beats and they were going to end in this way and then fucking execute on that.
Yeah, no, I can see what you're saying. But then again, European TV sucks. You want a whole season of a show? It's three episodes. What the fuck is that?
They do.
What the fuck is... Go watch
seasons.
Luther! Go watch Luther!
Luther is
show
weird because
BBC.
The dude is too popular. That's why they can't make that show that much.
Dude, he's also handsome as fuck. Like, no joke. That's my pick of the week, Idris Elba.
Truth.
Yeah, like the shows that you know about, stuff like that, are only that way because those people are movie stars and they can only make so many episodes of something at a time. There, that Sherlock show is the same way. Like, that Sherlock show is awesome, but they can't fucking ever film it because both of those dudes are busy doing other stupid shit.
Yeah, like being Doctor Strange or Bilbo Baggins.
Bilbo Baggins, man.
Is that Luther? I mean, not Luther. Is that Sherlock any good?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, it's great.
It's so good.
Really? Really?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Like, for reals?
For reals. Really, really good.
Have you guys watched Bloodline on Netflix?
I watched part of the first season.
So good. Bloodline's great.
I really like the brother.
Ben Mikkelsen?
Middleton? I don't know what his name is. But yeah, he's awesome. And he's great in that show. He's great in a couple movies that I've seen him in. That show's good.
So not a lot of stuff is going on in comic books right now, guys.
No.
I read a bunch of books this week. Read a bunch of books, but nothing's really popping. New York Comic Con's coming up, so all the big stuff is going to be announced then. I've been hearing some rumors, though. Pretty big rumors. Now, I take this with a huge grain of salt. I've seen this on a couple message boards, and one news site kind of said something. If you guys remember, Secret Wars, not the awesome band that came out a few years ago. I'm talking about the comic book, the book that came out last year was a huge success for Marvel. Actually, really, 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 really big book. So Civil War has not been doing that well. In fact, Civil War is not doing great at all. And one of the big reasons why people are disappointed is because Secret Wars was so big. There's a reason why I'm getting to all this, by the way. I'm not just trying to ramble on here. But I think the reason why Secret Wars was so big was that Jonathan Hickman, who wrote it, really, really great writer, writes East of West, wrote God's Dead, a lot of books that we mentioned on the show. Now, he hasn't done any DC work. One of the rumors that I'm hearing from a couple birds and some industry insiders is that Hickman could be working on a DC project. Now, it's all speculation, but that would be a huge coup for DC if Jonathan Hickman was doing some work for him. Now, I'm going to say that this is a 10... I give this 10% being truthful.
10% credibility.
10% credibility. Okay. But enough where it's an interesting rumor because you see where Marvel is right now and they could really use Jonathan Hickman right now. Bad. I'd rather see Jonathan Hickman go write Marvel books than I would DC, by the way.
Yeah, Marvel doesn't seem like it's in a too great of a spot right now.
No, it's bad. It's bad. This plane is definitely crashing.
Do you think there's a reason for that? Do you think there's some other stuff going on behind the scenes?
What's that dude's name?
Permuter? Isaac Permuter?
Perlmutter?
Perlmutter is a shitty person, and finally he's getting his comeuppance.
Well, the Marvel books are just shit. We've talked about this.
Because nobody wants to work for that shithead.
Also, Bendis is fucking blowing it right now, man. Civil War is bad. Civil War 5 came out this week. Oh, man. Oh, man. This thing was a fucking colossal fucking turd. Oh, it was fucking bad. It was supposed to have a splash page that made you go, oh, my God, what's going to happen? I'm going to totally spoil it. Miles Morales kills Captain America.
What?
But it's just a vision that Ulysses has, the Inhuman, that's got the whole Minority Report thing. Is Miles hasn't done it, but he gets a vision that Miles Morales will kill Captain America.
Steve Rogers, Captain America?
Yes.
Wow.
The Hail Hydra, America-hating Captain America. And that's the whole thing, by the way, guys. I know we haven't talked about it.
No, that's crazy, man. That's, why is it so bad?
It's fucking bad, man. I want it to be good. Shit, I love Bendis, dude. Right now, I'm looking at my Ultimate Daredevil collection over here, him and Alex Malev. One of the greatest runs in comic books ever, man. I fucking love it. But man, Bendis, come on, man. You're bald. I'm bald. We're supposed to be homies.
Powers, dude. He's too busy working on Powers.
Oh, no. That's not good either. I mean,
Powers,
I haven't watched season two.
Guys,
Omar,
Powers,
did you watch it?
Guys, Powers got canceled.
It did?
Yes.
So season two never came out.
No, season two definitely came out.
Season two came out, but it's done after that. Officially canceled. They're trying to shop it around other networks.
What other networks? What do you mean they're trying to shop it around other networks? What does that fucking mean?
I heard that Konami's thinking about putting up their own network, right?
What?
It's a joke, guys. Come on, Konami. They're too interested in Metal Chico. Metal Gear.
Metal Gear Chico. No, you did it. That was it. You got it. Metal Chico. Sounds slightly racist, but yes, it's really good. Fuck. After you're done with what you're saying, we didn't talk about that the Kojima slamming those dudes.
Yeah, I saw that story. I didn't read it. I was just like,
let Ryan
whatever.
Finish what he's saying.
Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks for interrupting, guys.
Sorry.
I forgot what I was saying. except for Bendis is blowing it.
You were saying Vin Scully, the legend.
Oh,
you know, Omar, love that he's getting this last couple games is phenomenal.
It is pretty cool. It's pretty good for baseball. You may not be a Dodger fan, but I think you should recognize the talent of one Vin Scully. The voice of the Dodgers.
You could hate the Dodgers, but you can't deny the fact that the dude's been doing commentary on Dodger games for like 60 years or something.
67 years to be exact.
67 years he's been doing baseball. It's insane.
I feel tricked right now.
And he's good. And he's good. He's not like, oh, some old like guy up there. Vin Scully, no one calls a game like Vin Scully.
No, he knows baseball. He knows how to play baseball.
He's the greatest thing that's ever happened to baseball besides baseball.
I love seeing those little clips of different teams when they're coming to Dodger Stadium, handing him all the rad shit that they're in remembrance of all he's done.
Yeah, it's like the Big Poppy Tour, right?
Yeah, what is that one is fucking stupid, but yeah, what is happening with that guy? Why is he getting awards at every away game that he goes to?
People love him. You know why? Because he gives fat people like confidence.
You want confidence? Like, look at Bartolo Colon.
That's why they give the chubbies hope.
Bartolo Colon, the most athletic big dude and the oldest baseball player in the game.
Evan, do you even know what we're talking about right now?
I have no clue.
You wish you knew who Bartolo Colon is. He's a legend. He's a hero.
He used to play for the Angels.
He used to play for the Angels?
Yeah.
It's awesome when you see all these like young dudes come in and be like, dude, what has been the biggest thing for you coming out of minor leagues or whatever? He's like Bartolo Colon. He is the big brother to every player on the team.
Yeah. He sounds like a drug dealer in the next Watch Dogs game.
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
It sounds like a fragrance to me.
He's a Dominican.
Yeah. Cause his cologne is in his name.
It sounds like a really cool fragrance.
Jeez.
Bartolo.
Bartolo Colon.
But it's only kind of cool. You can get it at, like, whatever, Macy's or pretty...
I think you can probably pick it up at, like, a kiosk at the mall.
Yeah, because if it has cologne in the title, it's not quite fancy enough, right? Yeah. It's not
plus,
just, like...
Plus, you gotta remember, Evan, he's also a fucking Met, so he's not that classy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Seriously, Mets? Fuck that team, huh?
He's a legend. He almost got released before this season.
Yeah, he's fucking lazy.
He's not lazy. He's strong. Strong like bull.
Nope. Strong and fat.
He is the best pitcher on the staff currently.
I can save us with one last news story.
Lay it on me, Evan.
Hideo Kojima says Konami's a bunch of fucking idiots for putting out a game that people associate with Kojima.
What was his actual quote?
People were asking him, excuse me.
What he thought.
Gross. No, somebody asked him like, hey, rumors are that you were working on this idea before leaving Konami. He's like, no, shit, no.
Of course not. Yeah.
Of course not. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's funny because like he was so tight-lipped about all this stuff when he left, right? But now that he's allowed, who knows what the story is, if he's allowed to say stuff or because it's not one of his games he's allowed to say stuff. But yeah. He's just like, yeah, it looks fucking terrible.
That's fun.
Yeah. Did you watch the gameplay video?
Yes. I watched part of it, yeah.
The 15-minute demo that they had, TGS?
TGS, yeah.
I watched it.
We put in the link for the show notes last week.
Yeah, I watched it. Really good.
It still looks like the game. Like, it still looks good, like Metal Gear looks good.
Well, I mean,
it's
obviously,
same engine.
It's the same everything as 5 and Ground Zeroes.
Yeah. Who knows,
with a
man.
little rust mixed in or something.
Are you going to play it, Omar?
No, shit, no.
All right, Ryan. Are you going to play it?
Fuck no.
Okay.
No Hideo, no dice.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Death Stranding.
No, that's going to be a garbage game. Get out of here.
You're a garbage game. How dare you say that?
Yeah.
What kind of person says that?
Come at me, bro.
You, Evan Campbell, the guy that's been talking so much about fucking Metal Gear over the last 40 years or whatever.
Metal Gear is a great
series.
You're
going to say that you're not excited about the next thing that that dude's putting together?
Dude, you are Team Hideo, bro. Come on.
I am mildly excited. Mildly excited.
Are you mad because they got Norman Reedus?
Wait, isn't it a different guy? Wait, is it Norman Reedus in the trailer or was it the other guy?
That's Norman Reedus.
They look the same.
Looks the same? Reedus to Norman Reedus?
Yes, it's the same person, Evan.
Kiefer Sutherland and Norman Reedus.
God damn it, they're not the same person! They don't even look alike. They don't even sound alike, Evan.
Listen.
Don't take my fucking catchphrase.
That Metal Gear, forget which trailer it was for. It was either for Ground Zeroes or for Phantom Pain. But then it had the whale and like the crazy visions and stuff.
Yeah, dude, the whale is in this one too.
Yeah, except that stuff never like came together in Metal Gear Solid 5. Wait, did you guys forget how Metal Gear Solid 5 actually was as a game?
You just never saw that part. It was open world, man. You missed it. You missed the whale. You missed the fire whale.
I was just like turned around the wrong way.
Nope, you just didn't do that mission. You know, that's what you get for not playing that game like a true hero.
Ugh, how many missions did you go into that game, Omar?
All of the missions.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, because I remember we were talking about it and we were like at the same spot. And then you'd stopped, and I had gone like 9 more and still hadn't hit the end of that game. And then, did you do the Jeep part? Did you guys do the Jeep part?
Yeah, where you sit in the Jeep and listen to the music?
Yeah, and then there's like apparently a lot more missions after that.
Yeah, dude, that game never ends. You know why?
Yeah.
Metal Gear is forever.
I might play that game, Metal Gear
forever. The game was too much work.
I got done
just, you know, at work, managing people all day and putting things together, run a company, and I come home. Now I'm going to go do this at my fucking offshore base.
Yes, dude.
Fuck me.
Also, real life simulator.
If you're listening at home and you didn't know, Ryan works at a Fulton company, so he's just Fultoning things like all day.
All day long, bro. I do Fulton QCing.
We try
to see like how much weight a Fulton could lift.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Turns out it's anything. It can lift anything.
It's really anything, guys. It's really weird how that works.
And it goes in through the dimensional portal to your other place.
Mm-hmm.
And in that new game, the portal is closed, so it just floats there.
Super weird.
Super weird.
I got a weird job.
So, yeah, I think I was a little bit disappointed by some elements of Metal Gear Solid 5, so I have some reservations with the next game. And if you think that game is coming out within the next 2 years, I've got news for you. It's going to be like 5 years before that game.
Oh, you tell him, Evan. Yeah. Oh, you think just it's coming out, but it's not.
It's not coming out.
Who said it was coming out in 2 years?
We'll be lucky if that game ever comes out at all. There's no like corporate structure to kind of force Kojima to have a crazy deadline.
What? Sony, brah.
But how much power do they really have over a man like Hideo?
They have all of the power. They're giving him money. If he wants their money, he will make their game.
Yeah, I guess. Stuff gets delayed, and I'm willing to bet that the game takes a while to come out.
Have they said when it's going to come out? They haven't even given it, like, a date, have they?
Probably not, but whatever date they give, just add, like, 2 years to that, and that'll be the accurate date.
I heard, I'm hearing 2018, and I think they're going to do it because...
Jaded motherfucker Evan Campbell.
Ryan and I have been in the Metal Gear game for a long time, man. Stuff happens, and Hideo happens.
Magic happens. That's what happens
Magic does happen, but...
Omar,
it's an ambitious thing.
What Metal Gear games have you played besides 5?
All of them.
Yeah, he went through and pre-played through all of them.
Which is your favorite one, Omar?
Well, playing the game, I would say 5. But, like, wackiness, 4?
Evan, yours is still 3, right?
Yeah, I think still 3. I think I still recognize 1 as maybe the best, though. Like, 3 is my favorite, 1 is probably the best.
See, and I liked it for the other reasons. Where, like, 2 and 4 are the fucking weirdo ones, right? I like those more.
I'm with you on that tip. 2 and 4.
You guys are just into the circus? Like, the circus that is, like, Hideo
Hideo's crazy brain? Yeah, dude. That's what made those games a thing. Like, the mechanics were what made 1 through 4 good? No. Those games sucked to play. They were fucking terrible to play.
They're not that bad.
They're terrible. Everything about them is fucking terrible. But the story is fantastic, and that the weird shit that guy went through, awesome. That's why 5... Like, if you want to play a good game, 5 is fucking phenomenal gameplay. So good. It's longer than it needed to be with all the crazy shit that they wanted to put in it.
There's also no story at all.
There is story. It's just spread out.
Yeah, but when they do it like that, it's not good.
Yeah, that's because they made it. They tried to make a really long open world game instead of making a linear thing.
It doesn't even come close to the other four. There's
because of the presentation. It's not because of the content. The content is there. The presentation of it is bad. And I completely agree with you there. But gameplay-wise, clearly the best of all of the games, gameplay-wise.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's more modern, if that's the way you want to go with it.
Not just more modern, like... You could do anything, right? I could attack this. There's a base. There's a town. I can go in from any direction. I can try to do anything I want to try to make what I need to happen. And it actually does that. Like, you actually can go with whatever tools you have at your disposal and make it fucking work any way you want to make it work. You're not limited to, like, I have to stealth this or I'm going to die every time. It doesn't need to be like that.
Yeah, that's all true, what you're saying. I agree.
It was also boring as fuck.
No.
Metal Gear Some 5 parts is of that boring game as fuck.
Are boring, yes. I agree. Very boring.
Seriously, this is fucking boring. First Metal Gear game I didn't fucking complete.
Same, actually. I don't think I've ever finished it.
You're weak.
No. It was fucking boring as fuck, Omar.
No.
Yes.
You're just doing it wrong.
Omar, I'm going to fight you for this.
Omar didn't beat it either, so I don't know what the conversation is here.
Like, yeah, Omar, you didn't fucking beat it, you fucking asshole.
You guys, you got anything else? You want to do Picks of the Week? You want to talk about Yurian and his underwear?
What?
No. Nobody cares. Nobody cares!
All right. Picks. Picks of the Week, yeah.
Omar, do you care?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yurian is a Street Fighter 3 character. He's in Street Fighter 5 now. He's wearing a suit. If you hold certain buttons, I think light punch, heavy punch, remember this, Omar, medium kick as you choose a character, then he burns his suit off, and then he's like in his classic like underwear style. So
oddly enough, that's how
you take your clothes off as well.
I take my clothes off when I come home from work.
It's pretty rad. It's funny to have a character fight in Street Fighter in his underwear.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way to fight for me, bro.
Good on them for bringing that back.
All right, picks of the week. Yeah, this brings us to our favorite part of the show, where each one of us pick the best thing from this week. It could be a video game, it could be a comic book, it could be a movie, TV show. It says our pick for the best thing of the week. You guys like that? You guys like that? Add a little finesse, a little pizzazz to the picks of the week bumper.
Bumper.
Omar De Armas, what is your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is probably the Bioshock thing, because it is very cool to go back and play those games again and relive the magic that was the Bioshock franchise. I really enjoyed it. I'm taking my time going through and kind of making sure I collect everything and look at all the different ins and outs of number one right now. It's not as hard as I remember, which I remember being frustrated with the, well, I don't know what, but it was difficult before. I guess I'm just better now. I don't know.
I doubt that. Seriously.
But it's very good.
Upgrade the wrench.
I got a shotgun right now. Blasting fools. Spark them and then blast them.
Yeah, would you kindly? Evan Campbell, what is your pick of the week?
I'm still on that criminal kick. Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips team up to write some of the coolest pulp noir books out there.
Are you now going through Criminal?
I've read Coward. I've read Lawless. I've read The Dead and the Dying. I've read Bad Night. I'm on The Sinners currently. That stuff is awesome. It's crazy that all of those books actually connect in the same world where you'll be reading one book and then you'll go through like two volumes or something. You're like, oh, this character is this other guy's kid. This is insane. So that stuff is super awesome. It's just taking me a little while to get through it all, but those books are good. It's just super kind of like, I guess I already said noir, but there's kind of mystery stuff going on. There's usually some kind of heist involved, or there's some drug lord looking for his money, or the femme fatale, some ladies in town stoking up an old flame, and then it causes trouble. You know, that old kick. Criminal's great. Should read any of those books. Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, one of my favorite team ups in comics ever. It's great.
I'm surprised that you hadn't read any of that stuff before.
I read Coward before and I read Lawless before, but I reread them recently to go back through. But like there's even a throw in Sleeper, I think. Was it Sleeper?
Sleeper is amazing.
I think
it's
so
good.
Oh man. I'm going to reread Sleeper today.
Yeah, Sleeper's pretty good. Did it ever like did they actually end it?
Yeah, Sleeper ended.
Huh. That's really old, right? Like that's one of those things I think I bought like a crazy collected edition of or something. Man, now I want to go read Fatale again. I don't know if I finished Fatale. I think Fatale was wrapping up when I got off comic books.
You probably finished it. I finished it. You probably finished it. There's no way you didn't. You were only like two issues to the end or something. You were like at They think there's only 21, 22 I don't know. Maybe.
What ended up happening with like Fade Out and stuff? Did that go and finish?
That's what I'm going to read next. I bought a bunch of these books in like some crazy sale on Comixology, and I'll probably start reading the Fade Out next. But yeah.
Still going.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, those first two books were weird. Like Fatale levels of they just get into it real quick. Things get dark.
I'm so glad you guys like comic books. That makes me happy that you guys know how to read.
Brian, you have a pick of the week, right?
I do have a pick of the week, Evan. My pick of the week goes to a show that we've mentioned on the show a few times, Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot.
Don't.
So the season finale was on this week, and I would
the just second half of the finale. Don't say anything. Don't even like not a single word in reference to what happened in that show.
I want to do this without spoilers. How about that, Omar?
I don't think you can.
I don't think it. I don't think it's in your person, Ryan.
I can, and I will.
You've got to get it everything you've got.
I can, and I will. Okay. I'm gonna be cool about this. Okay. Cheers to was it Sam? Is his name Sam Email?
Sam Eshmail.
I call him Sam Email because he's part of the. You know, he created Mr. Robot. Sounds cool. Sam Email. Kudos for him for not cheese dicking or holding people's hand. Like for the narrative or giving people the ending that they may necessarily want or love.
You're coming dangerously close to like, no, you've already.
I am not done, Omar.
You are not done. I am done. You're saying things that are invoking curious thoughts in my head.
It took some serious guts
no,
as a creator.
Mother, shut the fuck up.
I never saw that coming.
I hate you.
So it turns out, Omar, one of the personalities of Mr. Robot is a vampire werewolf hybrid that's been going around at night stalking the citizens of New York and E-Corp.
Cyber stalking, you mean?
Yes.
And by stalking, can I tell you what I think is happening?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen the last one. There's one more that I need to watch. I'll probably do it right now after this. So. It's definitely Fight Club in one sense, right? There's dude and then fake dude, right?
You need to be a little bit more clear.
I need to be a little more clear. There's main character, second main character, not real.
Elliot and Mr. Robot.
Okay, I'm trying to not spoil anything. So Fight Club is happening between those two. I think Fight Club is happening between main dude and foreign guy.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And... Foreign's guy's wife is actually looking at what's his name in all those ways.
Is that what you think, Omar? The thing is, I know what happens. And I got to tell you, cheers for having some guts, Sam Email. Also, Omar, when it ends, there is a stinger at the end of the credits.
Oh, boy.
I mean, there's a
stinger.
Like 5 seasons of it, right?
There's a post-credit scene.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it right now. I don't know why I've been putting it off. I've been scared to finish it, I think, is what's coming down to.
Now,
I don't want it to be over. I feel like that season went by very, very quickly.
It did. And I'm sorry that I spoiled the whole werewolf vampire stalking thing. That was,
yeah, always. You're always such an asshole about everything.
It was kind of the fact that the whole thing was a dream. Whoops. I don't know, Omar. Am I lying or am I being truthful?
Yeah, no, you're a motherfucker is what you are.
Yeah, I think it's not very difficult to determine what you're lying about and what you're not lying about. You did not give it everything you had in you to prevent spoilers.
I didn't. I've watched. Omar, you're going to watch it and you're going to realize I didn't spoil a goddamn thing. All I said was that it takes balls to be a creator on that show.
Great, grand.
It takes balls.
Blonde girl is actually Mr. Robot.
Is that what you're thinking?
That's what takes balls.
Whoa.
If he had balls, then Blonde Girl would be behind everything.
Oh.
Also,
the most boringest character on the show.
the most annoying of all the characters is actually the mastermind of everything. And did the sister die? I guess I have to watch the episode.
Oh.
She got mowed down, I think.
Yeah, she got fucking killed, dog. Whoops.
Spoilers.
Her and her boyfriend got fucking murdered.
Or did she?
Or did they?
Maybe they got murdered, and the werewolf vampire personality of Elliot brought them back to life.
Yep, They're all Mr. Robot. And the entire world is fake. It's all VR. Elliot's in a coma.
Wait, it's the Matrix?
It's the Matrix.
I gotta tell you, I've read an interview with Sam Ishmael after the fact, and he made a statement where he said, where they asked him, like, what was his influence, and he mentioned a movie. And I'm not gonna
say it. It's called Fight Club.
No, I'm not going to say it, but this season was about a movie that definitely influenced him a lot. And it's about, well, I can't tell you, Omar. We'll talk about it next week.
Fight Club.
It's not Fight Club. Movie that came out in the 70s.
All right. I got one thing to wrap up the show with. Are you ready?
Okay.
And we can end right now. Overwatch got its first porn parody called Oversnatch.
Oh, why have you done this?
Way to make Evan uncomfortable.
Oh, man.
Why have you done this?
Oversnatch.
I feel like they could have came up with a better name.
Yeah, it's a pretty good name. Sure. It's a pretty good name. Oversnatch. It is...
It doesn't make it better the more times you say it.
It is worse. Reaper, and Widowmaker battling it out and then fucking.
Wow. Omar, are you getting paid by that porn company?
Yeah, this is
plugging,
the worst.
Plugging it on the show? Evan's going to cut it out. You know what?
Yeah, did you just get a check? Did you just get a check?
What's
right
the
now?
Company?
I hope it was worth it.
Brazzers. Brazzers?
Is that how you say that?
Yeah, that's how you say that, right?
Well, Ryan and I wouldn't know.
Oversnatch.
That
that's going to wrap up this episode. Please make sure you check out indestructibleart.com for our past episodes, articles, and links that pertain to the topics we covered this episode. You can also send us questions via Twitter. Hit us up at Pixels, the panels. That's Pixels, two panels. Or you can email us directly at podcast@indestructibleart.com. This was a weird one, guys, but I kind of liked it. It was just, you know, three dudes hanging out, shooting shit, you know, talking about stuff. That's cool. Hey, and the best part was, it was the three of us podcasting again 2 weeks in a row. We are like DC's Trinity, Batman.
The rebirth.
Wonder Woman. The rebirthening. So on behalf of the IA crew, we'd like to thank you for joining us. We know you have lots of podcasts to listen to, but you choose to listen to ours. What does that make you, one Omar DeArmas?
It makes you motherfucking cool.
It does make you motherfucking cool, and... But fucking indestructible. We'll see you next week.